world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, it's getting crazier and crazier out there. Hey, Spencer, first thing, dude, if you can, pull up for me that picture, that standalone email I sent you, buddy. It says normal people, because this is the truth. We get this up on the screen. This is really where we are. This is normal people today, folks. Look at this. Normal people are the ones sitting around with a mask, all 6 foot distances from each other. And then the rest of them are conspiracy theorists. The rest of us are out living our lives, right? That's really where it is. I mean, we live in crazy times. And my wife got on me yesterday when I came down. She said, "Oh, that was depressing." I said, "What was depressing?" She said, "The show." I said, "I was just telling the truth." She says, "I know, but it was just depressing." So I guess maybe I ought to start a church and get happy glitter teeth in there and tell them things that aren't true so that they feel a lot better when just as it clamps down on them. Got an exciting show. All the shows are exciting. Dr. Paul Gosselin is going to join us. You say, who's that? Well, he's buckle in. All right. He's a doctor in Maine, state of. Wow. Unbelievable what's happened to him. Let me get to the stuff before I bring. Hey, do me a favor. Text somebody, call somebody, Facebook somebody. Say tune in. You don't want to miss the coach today. You don't want to miss him. We're gradually, slowly red pilling more people than we even understand, all right? Before I get too far, throw up the events page for me real quick. I want to thank Pastor Clint. I want to thank him down there in Royston, Georgia. He called me yesterday, says, "Coach, we're going to raise some money for your trip." And so we live down here in Georgia. It's kind of hard for us to get out. We support what you do, and I'm going to take it to my congregation, and we're going to try to provide some money for you. And so I hope maybe we can get you $1,000. So Pastor Clint did that, called me last night, $2,500. His congregation came up with $2,500 for us to take and go and take care of those people down in Kentucky. God bless you, Pastor Clint. We appreciate that more than you know. Pastor Mike Spaulding, I told you guys the situation the other day. Maybe I didn't tell everybody. Maybe it was in the after show about a lady who called us that her mother was sick, probably on the verge of dying. Went to urgent care, whatever. They wouldn't take care of her, wouldn't do the right thing. I said, "What do we do? What do we do?" So what do I do? This is what's so powerful about what we're doing here, friends. I picked up the phone. Well, my wife picked up the phone, called Dr. Mike Spaulding. He lives in Lima. The mother was in Lima, Ohio. Couldn't get a hold of Dr. Mike, and so called Dr. Mike's wife and explained to Dr. Mike's wife what was going on. Dr. Mike Spaulding got, and we connected the two, and we got the most unbelievable email today. Got mom some good care, kept her out of the hospital. She's bouncing back. Sorry we couldn't get her up there to Paul Gosselin up in Maine, but we took care of her right here. That's what's powerful about this. We're going to build this out even more. So thanks to Mike Spaulding and others like him all around. Jane Goodwin, you know, her husband passed away a couple weeks ago, maybe even 3 weeks ago now, up in Maine, another one up in Maine. And she sent us the kindest thank you note. And just I'm passing it on to all of you who sent her cards and all that stuff. Just want you to know it's a family, man. It's a family. And how much Jane appreciated that. And just appreciate all of it. And then I wrote that one down there, and I can't even remember what the heck I wrote that one. Oh, that was what that was about. So all good. I showed you the picture. The events, I'll put it back up again. Spence, I'm sorry. Put it back up there. We're going to go on the day after Christmas, which is Sunday. We're heading to Kentucky. Take care of those people down there. Do the best we can. Kentucky disease. There it is, up on the screen. Kentucky disaster relief. Bob, you in here to fill us in on that? Anything at all there, Bob? Bob's always here. Not here. Must be sleeping in. All right. Got to let us know if you're going. Okay. I said Pastor Clint's church sent us sending us $2,500. Thanks, Pastor Clint. And anybody out there that's listening, like to be able to contribute to our trip, go to Coach Dave Live and put some money in there, and we'll make sure that we distribute that money with the gospel to those people who've been ravaged down there in Kentucky. Amen. I want to show you a little trailer. This came to me this morning, and it's going to tie right in with Dr. Paul Goslin. So bear with me a second, Doc, because this thing takes about 6 minutes, but I need to play it anyway. This is a new movie. It's coming out, friends. It's called The Great Reset, The Greatest Reset. Hey, yes, go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Real quick, Bobby's headed down Friday, and he's staying with his sister, and then he's going to get us a location lined up for Sunday to pull in. I've got six people coming from here with a skid steer called Don Marshall. Don Marshall wants to come with Big Green Tractor. Wow. So,
man.
I even called Jim Kraft. Jim Kraft, Coach. Jim Kraft is coming the week following his wife. So it looks like it might be an ongoing effort after we home. I'm staying until Thursday, coming home Thursday. So,
Mark, I saw a drone video that OJ sent me of that area. It is unbelievable, man. It's always folks, we're always blown away by when we go to one of these things, what happened of the sheer force of nature ought to bring the fear of God to us. I don't know if it does, but wow. So thanks for that update, Mark. And so again, folks, if you want to go, you gotta let us know. This Greatest Reset movie coming out in 2022 ties in exactly with Dr. Paul Goslin is going to talk about. I just got this yesterday. There are three trailers. There's a first one, shorter one. The second trailer is about 6 minutes. But, friends, it's worth watching. This is really people are starting to talk about Lucifer. People are starting to talk about Lucifer. This is a spiritual war that we're fighting. Go ahead and play this real quickly there, Spence.
We have almost forgotten that we are in a great mortal combat. The battle of the forces of good and the forces of evil.
We're in an incredibly...
This is Dr. Peter McCullough.
...time, and it's cast over the earth. Whether this is a biblical plague, whether this is, as you described it, there is a tension between good and evil. Crisis of compassion. So for the first time in my career, doctors are turning their shoulders away from patients. They are denying patients care. So this is very, very important.
What does that mean? They're killing them.
They're killing them.
Right?
They're killing them.
That's an understatement. That's why I'm picking on the academic fraudsters that literally gave the academic basis to kill people.
On behalf of the Center for Health Security, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the World Economic Forum, welcome to Event 201.
The goal of the Event 201 exercise is to illustrate the potential consequences of a pandemic and the kinds of societal and economic challenges it would pose.
Is this anthropogenic? Is it man-made? Because one can really readily see that a dark winter or a crisis.
We're about to go into a dark winter. A dark winter.
We are in for a long, dark winter.
2020 could be the darkest winter in modern history.
Enables vast planning leverage. It gives you wide bandwidth to do what you wanted to do all along, which was to centrally plan other human beings and to corral them into the city of man, which almost self-evidently is what they're doing.
Why would something that's experimental, That's investigational. It's not fully FDA approved. It's not safe or effective. Why would this be the basis for the very quick announcements for rights to travel, keeping your job, going to school?
When you think about how many, where we're going, needing upwards of 250 million Americans at least to finally be vaccinated to get herd immunity, are you frustrated at the pace of this? Do we need to pick it up?
The vaccine is neither safe nor effective. This is very important. And you asked about motive. What could motivate a stakeholder?
The stakeholder concept of stakeholder capitalism.
To want to enact a worldwide mass vaccination program of a vaccine itself, which scientifically and medically is neither effective nor safe, that has no proven outcomes, and want to vaccinate individuals of which the disease doesn't cause any problems. So there is a goal and stated goal to vaccinate children down to 6 months old. Wait a minute. This isn't a disease for 6 months old. It's not even a disease for 20-year-olds. The bottom line is this is an innocuous disease that has an incredible age dependence to it. So what started out with this idea that maybe a vaccine could be good and we'll just vaccinate nursing home workers and seniors and protect people and get through became this ever-encroaching, ever-expanding mass vaccination program that has raised all of our concerns. Because there's a concern that this isn't about COVID at all.
Almost 4 months into the vaccination effort, providers are beginning to run out of people who want to be immunized.
There were significant obstacles created to suppress access to life-saving information and life-saving medications that work incredibly well.
My estimate is 85% of the deaths could have been avoidable.
Well, I think this is genocide and a crime against humanity and mass murder.
Through this vaccine program that we basically have set up exactly what you said, genocide.
And so no one was a conspiracy theorist until it started raining.
The Event 201 scenario is fictional, but it's based on public health principles, epidemiologic modeling, and assessment of past outbreaks. In other words, we've created a pandemic that could realistically occur.
Yeah, I got bad thoughts that make my mind scared. Hold me hostage and they don't fight fair. Who gon' pray for me and wipe on my tears? Who gon' save me if you not right here? Move this darkness and make my sight clear. Take me away cause I don't like here. Ghosts of my past, they fill in the night air. Wake me up, I'm trapped in my nightmares.
Eastern Orthodox writer Dostoevsky taught, suffering is beautiful and it unites us to Christ on the cross, and we should not flee from suffering. As hard as it is to go through at the time, it's worth it.
The only thing that makes sense is that this is safe. This is demonic. And God has chosen some to have their eyes open.
God has chosen some. Go ahead.
Out of this property, immediately out.
God has chosen some to have their eyes open. Wow, what a statement that was. I'm going to bring in Dr. Paul Goslin here in just a second. Spencer, if you could, pull up his website, patriots-health.com. Dr. Goslin's just a doctor, just a DO in Maine, holistic medicine. And folks, they have suspended his license. They're doing everything they can to drag him through the mud because of what? Medical disinformation. And all Dr. Goslin's trying to do is treat the patient, which is exactly the point that Dr. Peter McCullough said, that because of all the regulations from the government, doctors aren't treating patients. They're following protocol. Dr. McCullough went as far to say that they're killing people. Let me be softer and say permitting people to die because of whatever. Dr. Goslin, come on in, folks. I got a lot of information here about him. They've suspended his license. They're after him. What the heck's going on in Maine, Doc?
Welcome, everybody. I'm honored to be with some good Christians. But I have to tell you, there's an awful lot of good Christians in Maine, and they all seem to have been making it to my office over the past 6-7 months. And I kind of want to reiterate what Zelenko said. I'm not suicidal. Okay. So,
hey, Paul, we laugh about that, but that's serious, isn't it?
Oh, this is
anybody who crosses this cabal, this is serious stuff.
Well, you should know that I've had DEA, FBI, Secret Service, Homeland Security, Border Patrol in my office at my home over the past couple of years. I've been in trouble with the board. I can't even count it how many times. They're all anonymous complaints from the state. And how I became a doctor is really important. I'm a military guy. I was a medic, a corpsman, early 80s, 79, early 80s. And I learned there that, you know, I like to heal, I like to take care of people. And I was good at it. You know, when you're in the military, you are thrown into a situation and you just go to work. You don't have to go to school and you don't have to absorb any of the dogma of being a physician, or you just take care of people. And it was a lot of fun. And I was after 4.5 years, I was medically discharged, and I found myself pretty much homeless for 3 years, off and on. I ended up in Pascagoula, Mississippi, and I went to Duke University for a while. And I was working full time, sometimes living out of my car, sometimes living in abandoned buildings. And, you know, that's just the way things were. And I had no problem with that because, you know, I come from a family of 9 brothers and sisters, and a total family of 11. And we were tight. And I want to tell everybody here that there's only one in my entire family that got the jab.
Praise the Lord. What happened to him?
Well, yeah, you know what? There's always... Yeah.
There's always one. I get it.
And I love him dearly. But so after, you know, 3 years of that and working full-time and trying to go to school, I don't know how I got to med school. I got the grades and didn't have the money, didn't have the backing. Long story short, I went to University of New England in Maine. And the way, I know this is going to sound odd, but when you apply, it costs a lot of money. I didn't have a lot of money. I didn't even have a suit to wear for my application. So I dressed up in an apron, a lobster apron, with lobster claws, and he invited me in and admitted me to school. So not bad for only $100 in my pocket. But here's the rub. It's a club I didn't belong to. And I say that because second year, the only mandatory class that we had was on killing babies. And I told them there's just no way I'm going.
Mandatory class on abortion. You had to go. Only one.
Yeah, I was the only one out of 100 that did not go. And I was adamant that you can go stuff it. I'll leave. But I did very well in school. In fact, it was the easiest time in my life going to school. I had a roof over my head and 3 meals a day and a gym. That's all I needed. You know, and I I had my dog too, by the way, my golden retriever. He sat with me in school and nobody said anything. The other thing that was tough in school was Desert Storm broke out. And I left school to join. And I noticed that nobody even blinked an eye. And it was tough for me. They didn't take me back because of my disability. But, you know, I was more than excited about being with my brothers. And it's not because I like war. It's not because I like that kind of thing. It's just, it just felt like I was abandoning, you know, my brothers. So I've been in trouble with the board. I've had over 57 complaints issued against me over the past 22 years.
Because you're not in the club.
Because I'm not in the club. And the most fulfilling, most wonderful time I've ever had is over the past 2 years. And that follows 5 years of basically having my license revoked for 5 years. And without getting into too much detail why that happened, it's our governor. She was the attorney general. And there were some issues with some predatorial physician who still practices. And I became, a issue for her to come after me. And so basically I did construction for 5 years. And then at some point, somebody supposedly killed themselves and the board called me in and said, here's your license back. Don't ask me why God has groomed me for this. And this was 2 years ago. And at that time, I was already, I've been a John Bircher since I was 19.
Oh, wow. Wow.
She should know that I don't. And I've had some problems with the Catholic Church and priests. So I've always been aware that man is not the person to trust. But, you know, for some reason, I've always God has given me discernment to not get in too much trouble. So 2 years ago, I had already ordered all the medications I needed, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin. And it was at Christmas 2 years ago that I was at my family's gathering and I was passing it out and they wondered what I was doing. Remember, this is way before it started to get hard. And
saw the COVID thing coming.
Yes. And part of that was a vision. And people say, well, what do you mean a vision? Well, I had 3 days of darkness. And what happened was I was getting ready to go back into practice and I built a brick and mortar with very little money and, you know, used tables and everything else. And it was just, I wanted to get back into taking care of people. It's just what I do. It's whatever God made me that way, he made me that way. And so I was, it's tough because I'm trying to protect a case. The case that's coming up against the state of Maine for misinformation. But I'll tell you that I was eventually locked up for in a kind of a psych hold for 5 days. And basically they threw every psychiatrist and psychologist and counselor after me to find out what was wrong with me.
You know, Dr. Paul, that's the exact same thing they did to Sherry Tenpenny, accused her of being crazy.
Right. They locked me up and they actually jumped on me and jabbed me with a bunch of stuff. And I was yelling at them, I'm not an abortion. And so after locking me up and going through all this, and, you know, I was not afraid because I was envisioning the chaos that's currently going on. And I knew it was coming. And people ask, and I says, I don't know why God gave me those visions, but he did. And the diagnosis was I was too religious.
That's what they diagnosed me, too religious.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. It was good to hear. They couldn't deny that God existed. And that was really amazing.
Wow, wow, wow.
And of course, we all know that God exists. We feel it. We see it every day. And we see great people every day. And, you know, there's a lot of chaos, yes. But when I, over the past 6 months, has been the most fulfilling time of my life. And you got to remember, McCullough asked me to be bold and relentless with this current legal issue that I'm going through. So I have all these people from 300-500 miles away coming to see me. And I'm
So Paul, word got out that you would treat them. Is that right, Doc? Word got out. Go see Dr. Paul. He'll take care of you because most doctors weren't doing it. And word gets out that you will, that you are.
Well, I believe I was the only one within a 400 mile radius. And I was in central Maine. And
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. It's what I do for a living. Because the truth is, there has been nobody offering treatment, only vaccines, right? The only solution to this thing was a vaccine, and people were sick, and they couldn't find anybody to treat them.
Yeah, well, I've always been skeptical of vaccines in general. I think I know the history real well. So in any event, I was just blessed by, I mean, folks, lawyers would call me from all over the country and they would ask me for a prescription so that they could give patients medications in the hospital. And that worked some of the time, but people were coming from hospitals in my local area who were just know their family members were getting killed, and they'd show up in my parking lot after leaving, and I'd go out there, and I'll be honest with you, I gave them the meds, you know, gave them the oxygen, whatever they needed, and told them it's going to be okay. Just pray.
Because we're talking life and death here for these people, right? They're talking about their dad, their mom, their brother are dying, and they can't get any help at a hospital or from an average doctor.
Yeah, and I have I have my theories about the religion of medicine, okay? That a lot of them buy into their own shit. In any event. Yeah, I was, I'll have to keep my anger down.
No, that's okay. This is
I'm an ex-football player too, so.
Okay, I get angry all the time here. Right? people are used to anger. Hey, why aren't you angry? That's a good question, isn't it, Paul? Why aren't more people pissed off?
Yeah, well, they got to keep their nice homes, and I've been blessed by, I know this sounds strange, but I don't have children. I don't have much to worry about. I've been homeless probably, as being a physician, I've been homeless for 3 years off and on. It just is. I enjoy taking care of people, and I've met some really amazing people in Maine. And that.
So, Doc, the word gets out that Dr. Goslin will treat you. People are coming to you from miles and miles and miles away, and you're treating them. And the health department in Maine, they ain't happy about this, right, Doc?
Well, here's what's interesting. I wasn't – the whole vaccine thing was obviously without any kind of informed consent and just pushing this thing down people's throats and saying you're going to lose your job. I was writing exemption letters, and some of those exemption letters were both medical exemption and religious, you know. And I don't know if people know what an osteopath is, but part of our prayers and our what we believe in is that, you know, it's the mental, the physical, and the spiritual. And I always reference that on those letters. So our good governor goes to the hospital, a local hospital that just built millions and millions of dollars building this place. And I had written a number of letters for nurses and doctors and healthcare workers and, you know, security, whoever did want the shot. And in my mind, it's simple. If you have the discernment not to take the shot, for whatever reason, God bless you. And I'm going to do what I can. And so they went to their primary cares and they didn't touch it. They didn't want to, you know, shake that up.
Why not, Paul? Why the average doctor, why won't they treat people?
Because they've been trained. You're almost trained in narcissism. You believe in your own shit. You believe in the religion of medicine as if it's an ideology. I mean, Carl Jung talked a lot about being addicted to alcohol, gambling, and ideology. And they're just addicted to this idea that medicine, conventional medicine in the United States, is somehow, you know, the end all. And the reality is, and this is a huge change in medicine right now. COVID has brought up a lot of good science about treating like Lyme's disease and chronic fatigue. It's going to revolutionize medicine because we're no longer just going to treat symptoms. We're going to go to the root cause. It's an amazing thing what's happening. For me, and I apologize about getting off it, but I'm excited. Medicine is not what you think it is. The white coat, the religion, it's almost cultish. Mm. And so after I had written all those letters, and they were successful letters of exemption for these people, the governor walked into the hospital and fused millions and millions of dollars to fire everybody. And then I got wind from a couple of patients that they were coming after me. Within 2 days, they had subpoenaed a bunch of my records. And about a week later, they subpoenaed 24 more subpoenas. And interesting, and this is really, God just has guided me through this in an amazing way. I couldn't find a lawyer. There was no lawyer who was going to touch this hot potato.
Hmm.
And there's a lot of cowards in Maine, but there's a lot of great people too. Until I get a call from Ron Jenkins. He's an international lawyer, and he's sued Rockefeller. And I don't know if you know what medicine is all about, but it's Rockefeller medicine.
Amen.
And he sued Rockefeller for crimes against humanity in Guatemala for syphilis experiments. And he's a very spirited guy. He practices law like I practice medicine with God.
Amen.
And him and his partner. So I'm desperate. So I call a number from Dr. Northrup had given me a number to call him. And I call late Friday night and he says, "Hi, Paul, I got COVID." Him and his wife had it. So we met halfway in Maine and treated him. And I enlisted him as my lawyer, and he's got the case. And I think it's important to realize this case is unique because what they did was they eventually suspended my license on an emergent basis, which means they plan on, you know, canceling you. They were canceling me and my patients. And when they do that, they leave patients out on the street, cancer patients looking for pain meds, addicts, people wondering. And, you know, Maine does not have a lot of physicians that haven't left. They've left the state. So
Paul, listen, I'm going to butt in here because I know I got a lot of people want to ask you a question. So I'm sure some of this information will come out as you talk. Let me ask you this. Hypothetically now, suspended Dr. Paul, purveyor of untrue information. If someone in my family were to come down with this, whatever this thing is, what might I want to make sure that they're getting? What would you?
Oh, I think it's important to look at what McCullough says and all those guys at the FLCCC website and the American Associations of Physicians and Surgeons. Ivermectin it's almost made for this and it's extremely safe, but it's so far more than that. I mean, you've got to take care of your nutrition. You got to, you can't eat a bunch of carbohydrates.
Potato chips.
Chips and stuff. I mean, that's part of it. And it's funny how that was never mentioned at all as a treatment for this. And, you know, you close down churches and you close down stores, but you don't close down the, you know, alcohol or tobacco stores. You know, I mean, it was just absolutely amazing. I mean, we could see it coming. And so ivermectin would be a good one, but we were working on a lot of others. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not sitting on the sidelines here, folks. I'm still coaching people in that regard. But if you right now you can't get ivermectin. I got a call from another one of the frontline doctors in Iowa who's going. They closed down all the ivermectin, even for the animals. So you can't buy it, even at the feed stores. And I'll be honest, I've never had patients on their deathbeds. I would treat them and I would ask them to pray and they would get better. And I.
Hey, Paul, listen, they're going to die. Ivermectin, if they don't get ivermectin, they're going to die anyway, right? I mean, I don't even get it, right? That people say, well, we can't take it because it might hurt them. They're dying anyway.
Yeah. You got to remember they're protected and they're following the protocols that are set by the government.
Yeah, we get it.
Yeah.
And let Mel jump in here. First one in here today. Folks, line up now if you want to get in. Go ahead, Mel.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for being here, Dr. Paul. Just to confirm what you just said, I've been kind of tracking along, looking at the prices for like the ivermectin paste, even for, you know, and it used to be $5 per tube. On Amazon now it's $65 per tube.
Wow.
One tube.
Yeah.
That's the worst paste.
Yeah. They're gouging.
But the government wants to shut that all off though, right? Right, Doc? They don't want us taking ivermectin.
I totally get the Georgia Guidestones, okay? I get all that. So without getting into that kind of...
We went down. Did you know that, Doc? Did you know that we went down there?
I saw the picture of it. Believe me, I was living down there. Believe me. That's been up since 1984, has it?
Yeah, I think it's 1984. We went there, and they tell us right there what they want to do, right? They want to reduce the population, and we don't want to believe it. The unique thing about you, Paul, first of all, you have unbelievable guts, which is really rare. But you have an understanding that this is a spiritual battle.
Oh, sure.
The average person, the average doctor certainly doesn't understand the spiritual component of what's going on. And why do you think you see it that way, Doc? And you said you had that 3 days of darkness and you got the vision. You think the Lord just has called you for such a time as this?
Well, no, the visions were very, very, yeah, well, no, he's been grooming me a long time for this. You know, I've never bought into the religion of medicine. I never wear a white coat. I sit with my patients and I listen to what they have to say. And it's a narrative for me.
That's unique.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of good doctors, Dr. Northrup and Marcel Pick is a nurse practitioner and she's the same way, but a lot of these people can't stomach it and they're getting out of medicine, unfortunately. And they have all the power, right? They rule. And, you know, once they came down on me, the national boards of medicine tried to define misinformation and taking people's license. And so when I meet on February 10th for the hearing, and my lawyers are saying this is going to the Supreme Court. Yes, he wants this to go. And I'll be honest with you, I will never, ever work under a license again. They're always Secret Service coming to my house.
So, Paul, what's going on? What's going on at the top? Who is, I mean, we get it. I mean, we all get it. But we want to hear from you. Who's controlling medicine? You know, Paul, when this thing broke loose, I'll never forget my wife coming home and telling me 2 years ago, right? I just heard they're going to close down the store. You can't go to the stores. They're going to do that for a week. I said, hey, what? They can't do that. And then, Paul, then they closed down March Madness basketball. They canceled the NCAA basketball tournament. I said, what the hell is going on? How much power can they have that they would get the NCAA to cancel basketball? The road to the Final Four, multi-billion-dollar Paul, what's going on?
It's like you said, it's a spiritual war. They don't believe in God. They live for the material world. And the people in power were put there a long time ago. This has been planned for a long time. It's written on your dollar bill, my friend. Chaos, control. It's in Latin. But, I mean, yeah, I'm a conspiracy nut, right? But here it's coming. It's happening as we speak. And like I said, being bold and relentless. And I'm not in. So I think it's important to people. I have a website for my lawyer because it costs money. He's going to have McCullough and Dr. Nash and some major hitters at my hearing. And the board is going to have to prove what misinformation is. And we will bring it to the Supreme Court. And I can always find a job in construction, but I don't care. But I'm not going to stop being a healer. And if you go to my, I don't want to plug it in. It isn't finances for me. It's for my lawyer. It's basically a run for the First Amendment. And it's called moralhealthfund.com. And the reason why I'm using moralhealthfund.com is because within 10 days, they shut down, obviously, my GoFundMe page. And the Moral Health Fund is, I have a video, and you'll see where I'm coming from. And by the way, I don't mind dying. That's just it. I don't care.
Well, you know what's really unique? And this is kind of, Lord does things we can't even figure out. You don't have, see, like me, I'm clinging on to my wife and my children and my grandchildren, right? And you don't have any of those things in the world that are holding you, do you? You have real, real liberty.
I do. And God's groomed me for this. And I asked him why I don't have children and blessed with children. But, I have a lot of children, actually.
Amen. Boy, oh boy. Myra, come on in here.
Good morning, Saints. How you doing?
Good.
Thank you, Dr. Gosselin, for joining our show in Dave's show. And I want to read John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And concerning people with licenses, I have faith the system will change. And if it doesn't change, we really need to look at other avenues to making the living.
Yeah,
it's bad. I understand. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Yeah, what a money-making racket it is, right? You have to have a license to give out pharmacology, which kills people, right? You have to come up with hundreds of thousands of dollars for malpractice insurance. And when you try to tell the truth, they say you're giving out disinformation. Silver, come on in.
Thank you, Coach. Doc, you mentioned something in your little foray there about that you've been a member of John Birch since 19. And I wondered where that is today with you, or if you left that, or has God shown you what it is you are to do to bring his people to him?
We're not anti-Birchers here, Paul. So that's not Joe's question.
No, I mean, I was just aware of it. And I'll be honest with you. I think I was 19, right? I was back from the military and I had a meeting with my brother and we just met. And I've always known not to trust man. I was 15 years old and I was in an all-boys school to be a priest. And I was groomed for a couple of years by this. And I'll be honest, nobody back then would have believed me that a priest could ever do anything. And I brandished a gun and I got kicked out of school, and I became one of the best football players in the state of Massachusetts the year after that at 170 pounds. I thought you'd appreciate that, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Ain't the size of
the dog in the fight, size of the fight in the dog, right, Paul?
Right. And so I kind of knew. I mean, I loved the idea. I loved to pray. I loved to be comforted by, you know, God. And here it is. I'm being, you know, one of the major players, a very charismatic guy who just died in prison about a year ago for his actions. And it was sorrowful to see him. And that's part of it. I mean, I forgave him a long time ago. It's not an easy thing to do, but it happens. And I think it's important that, you know, how many times does the Bible talk about love? And, you know, it's the one thing that's going to get us over all this. Love our enemies. Love Fauci, the F word. That's a hard one to do, my friend.
That is, brother. That is. Very hard. Very hard. So
quick follow-up, Coach. The other thing is that we have seen the pockets of resistance develop across the country. Are you seeing anything like that as far as like doctors? I mean, that clip that was shown was very interesting, because that doctor's from the is from a hospital that I used to pick up mail from every day. And I was just kind of amazed by that. And I'm like you, I attended seminary, but I only lasted 3 months. So one of those kind of things, because God was not there. He was at church when I grew up as an altar boy. Every mass I served, it was incredible. Mm-hmm. And I get to seminary, nothing.
Right.
And then an old priest come up into retirement. He wanted an altar boy to serve mass. But you had to do the Latin. I knew the Latin because it took me 2 years to get it, you know, after my father whipped my butt the first year. And I always felt the presence of the Lord at Mass. And then this old priest comes up and it's kind of like exorcist kind of thing. And I felt the presence of the Lord again. He gave me a word that I would not be a priest, that I would serve those who are in that type of position, like Coach and other priests that I know. And so that's my mission today. That's what I do. So I was just very curious when you said John Birch, I went, what?
Paul, let me jump in here real quick, because this hour goes fast. Paul, what would you say? Rochelle, I'll get you in here in a second. People right now, I get emails every day. My mom's sick. My brother's sick. My grandpa's sick. My uncle's sick. My husband's sick. What can I do, Coach? Paul, what can I do?
Well, for sure, the FLCCC protocol is, they have a protocol called iMask Plus, and it was McCullough, and it was all the major players. We all put our information in it on there, and you got to nutritionally, you got to take care of yourself. Obviously you want to stay away from these vaccines. And, to be honest with you, if you don't keep your immune system up, you may succumb. I've never had that problem. I mean, I've just been blessed by anybody that's come to my office have done well. I mean, you should definitely be on your vitamin D, at least 5,000 international units, your zinc. There's nothing wrong with liposomal vitamin C.
Paul, I don't mean to interrupt. Our folks get it, man. These people are woke. What do I do when I get the call in the middle of the night that my dad is sick and he hasn't been doing any of this stuff? What do we do then, Paul?
Do you have anybody in your area? Because I'll be honest with you, I'm lucky. I have the Maine Stands Up a lot of healers there, and we work together to get the ivermectin and the stuff to them. We go to their homes. We've been doing this, and nothing says you have to be a doctor to be a healer.
Amen. Okay?
And there's a lot of really good healers out there, and I've met so many of them.
We just got to stand, folks. You've got to be bold and stand up for your rights. You have to be bold. And when they tell you can't come in, say, says who? Says who? Now, here's the truth. You might get the police. They may come after you. But you have to do everything. Dr. Goslin has told us, friends, that the medical system is not designed as it currently is not designed to make you well. Folks, when are we going to get past that first truth? It's no longer designed to make you well. Do you understand that, friends? It's hard for us. Good doctors practicing bad medicine, bad advice. I mean, there's a war going on there for sure. I didn't mean to put words in your mouth, Paul. I said that.
No,
not you.
I agree. I totally agree with you.
Yep. I believe some of these doctors think they're doing the right thing because they're following the protocol. But the problem we run into is when your friend is dying and you can't get anybody to help. I think, Paul, that's a great frustration. And I don't know this. I don't know the answer to that. Do you have a solution to that?
Prayer has never failed me. It's just never failed me. And even if somebody passes, and some people are very sick to begin with, you know, maybe it's just their time. Yeah. I know that's hard, but you have to have faith that they'll be in heaven, because we're on earth for a very short time, folks. Yeah. Let's face it.
Let's get a couple more years out of it, huh? Let's get a few more years out of this old body. I get you. Rochelle, come on in. And Roger.
Thanks. Good morning, team. Thanks for being here, doctor. So real quick, I just wanted to comment the ivermectin. I also hear that they are just the postal service is intercepting shipments. You can ship abortion pills all over the world to kill people, but if it's going to save people, you know, they're going to intercept it. But what I wanted to say was that I found this article, and it's talking about how Gates, Fauci, Daszak, all these people, I mean, they have been charged with genocide, and, there is a filing for it. We know that if you read Klaus's book, Schwab's book on the Great Reset, you know the plan. You know that this is just to get it all down to a single bank system where they can track every single person in the world, and we know nothing. How long do you think it can be to get this ball rolling? I've seen these court cases filed several times, over a year ago, and I just don't hear anything in the media. I have to do my own research to see where they are. There's tons and tons of good people doing it. I just don't know if they're getting anywhere.
No redress of grievances, Dr. Paul. We often talk about here, there's no redress of grievances. There's nobody to go to make it right anymore. The legal system is so long and sluggish and expensive.
Well, I'm in an interesting position with this hearing against the state of Maine for misinformation. How about starting with the First Amendment?
Yeah, you know, how about that?
Right to go to church and our right to,
They love that bodily autonomy till it comes to COVID, don't they, Paul?
It's so sad. Yeah. And by the way, they'll let all the fentanyl and cocaine coming from borders, but they're going after ivermectin. Well, they got ivermectin dogs now.
Amazing. Roger, come on in.
Your brief comments, Paul. Ivermectin in India was given out by the hundreds of millions, if I'm correct. Last 2 weeks, Japan has moved towards an ivermectin distribution. Your thoughts, why are these first world nations doing this and America is not? It has to be about money, period. End of discussion. Am I wrong?
Well, no, we're the last standing country in the world that's free. United States. We got patriots here. We have the Second Amendment. We're going to protect our children no matter what. We're not losing this battle, folks.
No, we're going to win this thing.
No, this is turned around. We just need to get the truth out. once they start going after our children with these damn jabs and they start dying, nobody's going to stand for that. And they're going to understand what the sanctity of life is all about.
Amen. Larry.
Hey, good morning. Got back in at 1:30 this morning. Praise God for traveling mercies. We had a good trip. It's about the money. The pharmaceutical companies got themselves legal immunity and billions and billions and billions of dollars in profits. And the more, what they call them, after the two jabs, you got another one. The more of those they get, the more billions they get, because the government has established the precedent that fake money is going to pay for it forever. And so it's about the money, and anything that would interfere with the flow of that money, you better believe those folks are going to fight tooth and nail against.
The love of money is the root of all evil. Follow the money. Come on in, Polly. Polly Heath from up in your area, Paul. Come on in, Polly.
I can't wait to be in Kentucky. I spent the whole day in my kitchen yesterday cooking for everybody. So be ready awesome. For good food. Hey, when Paul mentioned the babies and that the moms are going to stand up for their dead babies, what about SIDS, though, Paul? We've had sudden infant death syndrome after babies have been inoculated. Where is the outrage for that? They just keep lying. Are you sure? I want to believe you that the parents will stand up. But these vaccines have been killing babies and infants all this time.
People come to me every day that understand this. They're not gonna allow it to happen. I mean, people are gonna have to wake it up, but it doesn't take many of us. Just a few. I mean, remember how we won the Revolutionary War. You know, it wasn't many. But
true.
They got tired of it.
It was 3%. You're right. Praise God.
Amen. Randy, come on in.
Coach, I just want to honor this man for standing up, dedicating his life to challenge the system, to challenge immorality, unrighteousness, all of these things. We know they're going on. And he has the strength and the determination to do it, Coach. I just want to applaud him and thank him. And just he challenges me to be better. Thank you, Paul.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Moral Praise Health Paul. Fund. Moral Health Fund. Is that the website, Paul? Moral
yes.
and I, Health I, Fund.
Goes right into my lawyer's funds. And so it's not about my license. I want you to know that. I don't care about it anymore. I will not work under a license again. It's about going to the First Amendment.
You're our kind of guy, Paul. Or we're your kind of. Rochelle, quickly.
Thanks. Coach, I heard about these, you know, the aliens coming over the border are not getting a shot. Instead, they're just given a little protocol bag of ivermectin and other stuff. And I had heard that the reason for that is because since they're not U.S. citizens, the pharmaceutical companies don't have protection.
Immunity.
Yes, yep. Thank you.
And is that right?
We were talking yesterday. You tuned in a little bit yesterday about or not yesterday, the day before, about becoming a state, national, or what's that term, Coach? Not sovereign citizen.
Authentication.
I'm just wondering if we're an authentication. I wonder if that's a way that these stupid laws wouldn't even apply to us. Not that I'm not willing to fight the laws, but just anything in our arsenal might work.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we've been asleep way, way too long. Hey, Paul, listen. I want to encourage you with this, Paul. I told this story a few couple weeks ago. I was a football coach, Paul, so you'll understand this.
Prayer.
So during the course of the game, usually it would be early third quarter. I didn't care what the scoreboard said. When the players would come off, you know, we'd punt or the other team would punt, and we'd exchange guys coming off the field. And I'd always go up to those linemen, and I would say, "How are we doing, guys?" And you know what they'd tell me, Paul? They said, "Coach, we're kicking their ass." And when I knew right then, Paul, it didn't matter what the score was. I knew where this was heading. You understand what I'm saying? And so I feel that's where we are right now. The other team jumped out to a real big first quarter lead. They're way out. But, brother, it's now into the third quarter, and we're starting to kick their ass. I really, really, really believe that we're in the process of winning. And thank God for brave guys like you who are willing to lay it all down, because that's what it's going to take. We're all going to have to make these sacrifices. And, Paul, we just salute you for being brave enough to lead the charge.
It all starts at Christmas, guys. It all starts at Christmas.
It's what it's about. It's what about. Mel, come on in quickly. Got a couple minutes here. Mel.
Remember the story of Gideon. I mean, God whittled down that army to the point where Gideon was not going to be the person that made that win. It was going to be God it was God's win. And I also just want to say, I think it's really important that we really think about the word network and start creating that network. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I agree with that for sure. Paul, Johnny Burkini. Hey, Johnny, come on in here, man. How you doing, John? Did you mean to put your hand? You're muted, John. You got to put your hand up. Nope. Yep. Nope. Luann.
I'm here. I just wanted to thank you. I met the doctor there for standing up, because they attacked me too, just like they did you. They didn't send the law yet, but they said they attacked my health.
Well, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, and the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down the strongholds. Paul, now's the time to stand up and fight. We appreciate you being with us. We appreciate your courage. And whatever we can do in this huddle to help you, dude, we're doers. We're doers of the word here, not hearers only, brother. So appreciate you being with us this morning, Paul. Hang on there. Not everybody's going to hang up. We'll jump right back in it. God bless you, folks. This brave man, huh? Brave man. Let's go help him out. Go to that website. Give us that website again, Paul. Moral health.
MoralHealthFund.com. One word, MoralHealthFund.com.
Help him out there. God bless you, folks. See you tomorrow.